You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, the other night I read from a speech to the House by Ms. Jackson Lee of Texas, a Marxist subversive who is doing everything she can to help destroy this country. And I did not address one of the points that she had in here that I must address, because it really makes me very angry, this piece of scum, this sludge who calls herself a congresswoman, this empty, airheaded slanderer. I don't believe that this woman or any of the other people who have signed on to this four-page piece of crap have any brains. I don't believe that they know anything about the history of this country or about what America is all about. They know what their Marxist dream for the future is, and that's what they're working for. And that's the only thing that they care about. Remember, they believe that the end justifies the means. Let me see if I can find it here. Oh, here we go. She talks in here about militia members and patriots being racist and belonging to the identity religion, which holds that white people are God's chosen, and that it is their divine duty to battle the satanic beast of government. You know, Ms. Jackson Lee, you better get your nose out of Mr. Morris Dees' butt, because that's exactly where you have it firmly planted. Morris Dees is a liar. I don't know one single militia member, not one, ladies and gentlemen, at all, who is a racist. I don't know one single person, personally. I know of people, but I don't know one single person, personally, as a patriot or militia member anywhere in this country who belongs to the identity religion. And I've got to tell you, Ms. Jackson Lee, that if somebody did belong to the identity religion and they formed a militia based upon the beliefs of that religion and restricted their membership to the people who believed in that particular dogma, it is not a militia. The militia must be formed under the law. The law says that every able-bodied man, and I believe that you can include women if they wish to volunteer in this day and age, but the law specifically states every able-bodied man or boy between the ages of, and it depends upon the state as to what those ages are, with the United States, it is embodied in Title 10 of the United States Code. And that means that the militia is impossible to be racist. Because everybody in this country between those ages according to the law are members of the militia. And anyone who has served honorably in any of the branches of the armed services is a member of the militia until age 65, or the age where they cannot any longer, due to health or physical restraints, serve. And that's also embodied in the law. Every state in the Union and the United States provides for an unorganized militia, which in the law is distinctly separate from the National Guard or from the State Guard or from any other guard or any other military body. I hope you people are calling your Congress people, your representatives, and I hope you're writing them and setting them straight on this, because we cannot allow this to go unchallenged. Cannot. At all. It is beyond the pale, so to speak. And I have here a fax from the Citizens for Constitutional Washington, whatever that means. I think it should be a constitutional America. Oh, you're very beautiful. You've got on all your new clothes and your new shoes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you need to go get ready for bed, because it's late. But you're very beautiful. Thank you for dressing up and coming to show me.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. I'll see you later.
Bye.
Well, I'm not going to apologize for that interruption, folks, because I thoroughly enjoy it. Anyway, I think it should be a constitutional country, a constitutional America, a constitutional republic, which we are guaranteed under the Constitution. We're guaranteed a republican form of government under the Constitution for the United States of America and the constitutions of our individual several states. But anyway, they sent me this fax, and it's pretty good, so I want to read it to you. It's an HCR 206 sets a very dangerous precedent, and technically is a subversive piece of legislation. You see, they think just like I do. Anyone who understands the Constitution and wants the rule of the Constitution to prevail knows that that legislation is subversive. It is Marxist. It is treasonous. The document suggests that Ms. Lee is not in touch with the history of this nation. Sounds like me talking, doesn't it? Nor does she understand the intent of the framers of the Constitution to provide the citizenry their one final safeguard against a tyrannical and despotic government when they inserted the Second Amendment into the Bill of Rights. However, notwithstanding the Second Amendment, the preamble to the Bill of Rights says it all. And most Americans do not even know that the Bill of Rights has a preamble, ladies and gentlemen. We covered it almost 4 years ago, and then 3 years ago, and probably 2 years ago on this broadcast. And we're going to do it again tonight. And most copies of the Bill of Rights do not include the preamble. And you should not have a Bill of Rights unless it does include the preamble, because it sets the legal reason for the Bill of Rights to exist. Listen to this. The conventions of a number of the states, having at the time of their adopting the Constitution, expressed a desire, in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added, and as extending the ground of public confidence in the government will best ensure the beneficent ends of its institution. End quote. Likewise, ladies and gentlemen, the preamble to the Constitution itself describes the intent and the supreme public policy of the document, to wit, quote, "We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America," end quote. It is not the Constitution of the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen. It is not the U.S. Constitution. It is not the United States Constitution. The proper name is the Constitution for the United States of America. This preamble was passed without debate August 7th, 1787. Now notice that the Bill of Rights came later, ladies and gentlemen. You see, they tried to pass the Constitution or adopt the Constitution, and the members of the states would not accept it without the Bill of Rights. And the preamble to the Bill of Rights sets the stage for its reason and its effect, and clearly provides the statement that the Bill of Rights was added to the Constitution to make sure there would be no misconstruction or abuse of powers by the government. That further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added, and as extending the ground of public confidence in the government will best ensure the beneficent ends of its institution. The intent of the framers is revealed by Hamilton in Federalist Papers number 84, to wit, quote, "It has been several times truly remarked that bills of rights are in their origin stipulations between kings and their subjects, abridgments of prerogative in favor of their privilege, reservations of rights not surrendered to the price. Such was Magna Carta, obtained by the barons sword in hand from King John. Such were the subsequent confirmations of that charter by subsequent princes. Such was the petition of rights assented to by Charles I in the beginning of his reign. Such also was the declaration of right presented by the Lords of Commons to the Prince of Orange in 1688, and afterwards thrown into the form of an act of Parliament called the Bill of Rights. It is evident, therefore, that according to their primitive signification, they have no application to constitutions professionally founded upon the power of the people and executed by their immediate representatives and servants. Here, in strictness, the people surrender nothing, and as they retain everything, they have no need of particular reservations. We, the people of the United States, to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Here is the better recognition of popular rights than volumes of aphorisms which make the principal figure in several of our state Bill of Rights, and which would sound much better in a treatise of ethics than in a constitution of government," end quote. We wonder what it is that Miss Jackson Lee does not understand about her oath of office, especially since she is a former staff attorney for the American Bar Association, a practicing attorney for 12 years, a member of the Texas Bar Association, and a former Houston, Texas municipal judge. Her background lends itself to an ability to comprehend the legal terms of the contract, the Constitution for the United States of America. We must also ask of Ms. Lee what it is she does not understand about the last four words in the Second Amendment. Quote, "shall not be infringed," end quote. From the book Debates in the Several States Conventions on the Adoption of the Federal Constitution, the Jonathan Elliott edition, Volume 3, we find the following quotes, which are more than apropos, considering the evil intent of Miss Jackson Lee and the co-sponsors of H.C.R. 206. Henry, at Volume 3, page 45. Suspicion is a virtue as long as its object is the preservation of the public good and as long as it stays within proper bounds. Guard with jealous attention the public liberty. Suspect everyone who approaches that jewel. Unfortunately, nothing will preserve it but downright force. Whenever you give up that force, you are inevitably ruined. End quote. Henry, Volume 3, page 59. Show me that age and country where no rights and liberties of the people were placed on the sole chance of their rulers being good men, without consequent loss of liberty. I say that the loss of that dearest privilege has ever followed with absolute certainty every such mad attempt. End quote. And Iredell at Volume 4, page 130. The only real security of liberty in any country is the jealousy and circumspection of the people themselves. Let them be watchful over their rulers. Should they find a combination against them, they have, thank God, an ultimate remedy. That power which created the government can destroy it. Should the government, on trial, be found to want amendments, those amendments can be made in a regular method, in a mode prescribed by the Constitution itself. We have this security, in addition to the natural watchfulness of the people, which I hope will never be found wanting. End quote. Now, in regards to that last quote, ladies and gentlemen, what he's talking about is making laws. Making laws, ladies and gentlemen, that are blatantly unconstitutional. Performing actions and functions and taking jurisdictions and powers that clearly are forbidden by the Constitution. He is saying that we have a mode to make amendments should they be so desired. And that is the only way that these things can be done. Nowadays, they just ignore it and do it anyway. Our founding fathers knew that this could happen, and that's why they gave us an ultimate method of defense, the second article in amendment. Reviewing the short biography on Ms. Jackson Lee as contained in the 104th Congressional Directory, and knowing how the anti-American law monopoly, the American Bar Association, came into being at the University of Chicago upon a $40 million contribution by philanthropist Mr. John D. Rockefeller, and reviewing the high-flown rhetoric of Ms. Jackson Lee's HCR 206, we are persuaded of several things. One, that she does not understand American law or the Constitution for the United States of America. Or two, the document is obviously of communist origin. And three, that Ms. Jackson is a subversive socialist pinko communist who is participating in the overthrow of our constitutional and republican form of government. We note that Ms. Jackson Lee graduated with a Bachelor of Arts from Yale University. Are females allowed membership in Yale's Skull and Bones, like George Herbert Walker Bush and other socialist New World Order monger? Or did she come about this from some other means? We would appreciate it very much if you would inform your readership of the foregoing information in the attached House Concurrent Resolution 206. And, of course, we were in the process of doing that when I received this fax, probably because of last night's broadcast. And tonight, I had planned to read you House Resolution HCON Res 206, and I'm going to do that real quick right now, so listen carefully. 104th Congress, Second Session, HCON Res 206, expressing the sense of Congress with respect to the threat to the security of American citizens and the United States government posed by armed militia and other paramilitary groups and organizations, in the House of Representatives, August 1, 1996, Ms. Jackson Lee of Texas for herself, Mr. Conyers, Ms. Norton, Mr. Frazier, Mr. Flake, appropriate name, that Mr. Flake, Mrs. Lowry, excuse me, Mrs. Lowy, Mr. Rangel, Mr. Hastings of Florida, Ms. Millinder McDonald, Ms. DeLauro, Mr. Clyburn, Mr. Hilliard, Mr. Wynn, Mr. Luer of Georgia, Mr. Payne of New Jersey, Mrs. Clayton, Mr. Owens, Mr. Fields of Louisiana, Mr. Cummings, Miss Collins of Michigan, Mr. Schumer, of course, Mr. Schumer, the biggest scum-sucking pig in Congress. You talk about a traitor. That's probably the most hated man in America. Who elected this guy? Mr. Scott, Mr. Pastor, Mrs. Meek of Florida, Ms. Brown of Florida, Ms. McKinney, Mr. Foglietta, Mr. Richardson, Mr. Coleman, Ms. Eddy, Bernice Johnson of Texas, Mr. Jackson of Illinois, Mrs. Collins of Illinois, Mr. Engel, Mrs. Schroeder, of course, Mrs. Schroeder, another traitor, Mrs. Maloney, they're all traitors, to tell you the truth, Ms. Velasquez, Mr. Gutierrez, Mr. Cardin, Mr. Serrano, Mr. Becerra, or Becerra, Mr. Gibbons, Mr. Nadler, Mr. Kennedy of Rhode Island, Mr. Clay, and Ms. Lofgren submitted the following concurrent resolution, which was referred to the Committee on the Judiciary. Concurrent resolution. Listen carefully, folks. Expressing the sense of Congress with respect to the threat to the security of American citizens and the United States government posed by armed militia and other paramilitary groups and organizations. Whereas the government of the United States and its agencies are democratic institutions created by and for the people of the United States. Whereas the various agencies of the United States government derive their purpose and their character from the expressed will of the American people and may be altered from time to time by peaceful means. Whereas 168 American men, women, and children were killed in the terrorist bombing in the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in April 1995. Whereas federal law enforcement officials were threatened and held at bay for 81 days in a Montana town by a group of so-called freemen while trying to exercise their duty to uphold the law at a cost of millions of dollars to American taxpayers. Whereas various spokespersons for self-described militia and paramilitary organizations and groups have repeatedly denounced the legitimacy of the United States government. Whereas several members of an Arizona militia group were recently arrested in possession of heavy armaments, deadly bombs, and explosive devices, and charged with conspiring to use explosives to destroy buildings housing federal agencies. Whereas experts have estimated that extremist anti-government militia groups and organizations in the United States may number as many as 800, existing in more than 40 states. Well, that's comforting, folks. That means they don't know about all of us. Whereas the democratic institutions of the United States and the American people are protected from both foreign and domestic enemies by a well-trained military and multiple layers of legitimate state and local police organizations, and whereas the actions of some militia and paramilitary groups and organizations specifically promoting violence constitute a grave danger to American citizens and the institutions of American democracy, and threaten the very foundation of freedom and democracy in America, now therefore be it, one, resolved by the House of Representatives, the Senate concurring, that it is the sense of Congress that, one, armed conspiracies against the government of the United States or any of its agencies and personnel should be aggressively identified, dissolved, and their perpetrators brought to justice by the federal authorities of law enforcement with the greatest dispatch possible. Two, the illegal possession of firearms, explosives, or any substances or devices of destruction by any individual or group should be prosecuted to the full extent of all applicable laws by the Department of Justice, and three, those legally possessing firearms, explosives, or any substance or device of destruction and involved in any conspiracy to harm or destroy any agency or property of the United States government or any official of the United States government, or any person, should be promptly prosecuted to the full extent of all applicable laws by the Department of Justice, including those designed to protect the United States government against treason and subversion. That's the end of it. ladies and gentlemen. You see what they have done? They have put together a whole bunch of lies. And let's go through some of those lies. First, they say there's a threat to the security of American citizens and the United States government posed by armed militia and other paramilitary groups and organizations. And that is a lie. There is no threat to the United States government, the legitimate United States government, under the Constitution for the United States of America. There is a definite threat to any other subversive government which may be trying to destroy that government from within or from without. And there is definitely a threat from the militia to any of the conspirators and traitors who are involved in that subversion of the legitimate constitutional government of the United States of America, and or any of the several states. They say, whereas the government of the United States and its agencies are democratic institutions, that is a lie. The United States government is a Republican constitutional government. A Republican form of government is guaranteed to us within that document. Lenin said, democracy is indispensable to socialism, and in fact is the first rung upon the ladder to destruction. Whereas 168 American men, women, and children were killed in the terrorist bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in April 1995. Number one, they don't know if it was a terrorist bombing. In fact, it can't be a terrorist bombing because terrorist bombings always have a goal in bombing. In other words, when terrorists bomb, they do it for a reason. They do it to gain a political advantage. They do it to have prisoners released. They do it to make armies leave occupied areas. There was no such thing happened with the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building. No one has been proven to be guilty of that bombing. And I'm going to tell you right now, the federal government does not have a case against either Terry Nichols or Timothy McVeigh. When you read Oklahoma City Day One, you will begin to understand why they don't have a case against these two men. No militia and no militia member has been implicated, arrested, or charged, or convicted in connection with the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building bombing on April the 19th, 1995. The FBI has specifically stated that no militia was involved. There is no militia conspiracy. This is on record. They did it at a press conference, ladies and gentlemen. No militia was involved. Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols were not members of any militia, and that there is no militia conspiracy. Then they say that federal law enforcement officials were threatened and held at bay for 81 days in a Montana town by a group of so-called freemen. The freemen, ladies and gentlemen, were not a militia. Were not a militia. While they could have probably formed themselves as a militia in defense of their so-called justice township, they did not. The name freeman has nothing to do with militia, ladies and gentlemen. They had never stated that they were militia. Neither did the FBI ever state that they were militia. Then they say, whereas various spokespersons for self-described militia and paramilitary organizations and groups have repeatedly denounced the legitimacy of the United States government, that is a lie. We have denounced the illegal activities of some persons acting under the color of law outside of the limits of the Constitution who are members of the federal government or who are agencies of the federal government. The militias support the legitimate United States government, which is the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, and all of its amendments, which were legally and properly brought about and ratified. And one we know was not, and that's the 16th Amendment. Then they say several members of an Arizona militia group were recently arrested in possession of heavy armaments, deadly bombs, and explosive devices, and charged with conspiring to use explosives to destroy buildings housing federal agencies. That entire paragraph is a lie. Number one, as I explained to you before, it was not an Arizona militia group. It was a loose-knit organization of people who did things together, mostly on motorcycles. They were not in possession of any heavy armaments whatsoever. They had no bombs whatsoever. They had no explosive devices, and they were not charged with conspiring to use Believe me, go down and get the court records and you will see. And there are many more, but I think you get my drift. They want to use these lies as excuses to go after legitimate, decent, law-abiding American citizens who are the only ones in this country that have the guts to stand up and protect the freedom of all the sheeple and cowards who don't have any guts at all. They're the same people who created this country. They're the same people who've always marched off to fight this country's wars. They're the same people that when no other person in the neighborhood will act, they do. They are the people that when a woman is being raped in an alley, will not walk by like the rest of the sheeple cowards on the sidewalk will do, but will instead go to their aid. They are the men and women of character who have moral standards, who believe in right and wrong. They don't have to be of any religion, but most are, because that is usually the wellspring of moral values. They believe in family life. They love their children. They're usually good workers, and they have never failed in the history of this country to give their life whenever it was necessary, when they answered the call to protect the Constitution for the United States of America and fight this country's wars and battles. Whether as an official member of a government military force or as a volunteer militia member, and if you don't think that's true, folks, you go back and study the real history of this country. You'll find that most wars were fought by militia members who volunteered with the other men in their community, gathered their weapons, provided their own uniforms, their own guns and ammunition, and marched off to fight on behalf of the American people. So, now that we've sort of laid that to rest, not, won't be laid to rest until you all get off your lazy butts and do something about it. And that is the truth. Don't go away. We'll take your calls.
Of them wasn't the latest man. He just come along from up under his arm like that. Quick as a cat in the jungle. Clark Kent, now there was a real gent. He would not pick cards sitting around in no jungle scheme. dumber than even doing nothing. Superman never made any money. He's keeping the world from Solomon Grundy. And sometimes I just tell the world we'll never see another man like him.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Hour of the Time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. Swiss America Trading specializes in non-reportable, non-confiscatable hard assets. Real money, usually in the form of gold or silver coin. Not too many Americans really know what money is. Money is not a Federal Reserve note, which, by the way, isn't a note, and there is no Federal Reserve. It's a privately owned corporation. Most Americans are totally confused about these things. See, one of the most important things in their lives, they know absolutely nothing about. Well, if the Federal Reserve is not federal, it's a private organization. And a Federal Reserve note is not money, and it's not even a note, as it says. What is it? Ladies and gentlemen, according to the law, it's counterfeit, worthless scrap paper. You see, money has to have an intrinsic value all its own. Money has to be a commodity. A Federal Reserve note is worth nothing, cannot be exchanged for anything. If you take it to the bank and you put it on the counter and say, give me the money of account which backs this piece of paper, the girl will scratch her head, run off, and find the bank manager who will come and tell you very quickly that there isn't anything. And if you don't like it, there's nothing you can do about it. So, if it's just a piece of paper and it has no value, is there really any difference between a $1 Federal Reserve note and a $100 Federal Reserve note? Ladies and gentlemen, the only difference is the ink, shaped on one into the number one and on another into the number 100. And it's worth exactly what fools are willing to exchange for it, and nothing more. You see, the law specifically says that a dollar is a specific weight and measurement of purity of silver coin. And it can also be an equivalent value of gold coin. Wow. How about that? Do you know what that value is? Do you know what that weight is? Do you know what that purity is? I'd venture to say that you don't. Do you know that the Constitution makes it clear in Article 1, Section 8, that no state shall tender in payment of debt anything other than gold or silver coin? Wow. That sure changes things, doesn't it? And one night after the conference is over, I will air Stephen Jacobson's tape about money that most of you who don't know anything about money will stand in awe of. And I mean that sincerely. You will stand in awe of the information on that tape. We've done it before on the Hour of the Time, and I think maybe it's time to do it again. In the meantime, in light of what you've just heard, maybe you should take some pains to get your hands on some real money, because sooner or later, this phony house of cards is going to come tumbling down around your ears. And if you don't have any real money, when you walk out and try to tender that phony stuff that you've been carrying around and using all these years, guess what? I won't take it, and nobody that I know of is going to take it either. And in the socialist New World Order, they're going to take your land and property because you're not going to be allowed to own property in the New World Order. You'll be able to lease it or rent it from the state, but that's about it. So, if you think that you're protected, if you think that you've done the right thing with your money, you'd better think again. And once you've done that, call Swiss America Trading and thank them for sponsoring the Hour of the Time. Ask them for the latest newsletter. Find out how you can get your hands on some real money. You'll be treated with red carpet treatment I guarantee you, all you have to do is say, I listen to the hour of the time. And I thank you for sponsoring that broadcast. 1-800-289-2646 is the number. 1-800-289-2646. Do it now.
Great job. Even though he could have smashed any bank in the United States, he had the strength, but he would not. Folks dead, his family were all dead. Planet crumbled, but Superman, he forced himself to carry on. Get Krypton and keep going. Superman never made any money. Saved the world from Gandhi. And sometimes I despair the world will never see another man like him. Tarzan is king of the jungle and lord over all he hates. But he could hardly have strength to give her words. I, Tarzan, Eugene. Sometimes when Soup was stopping crimes, I'll bet he was tempted to just quit and turn his back on him. Join Tom's in was. But he stayed in the city. Kept on changing clothes and dirty old phone booths till his work was and nothing to do but go on home. Superman never made any money. Saved the world from sometimes I despair the world will never see another man like him. And sometimes I despair the world will never see another man like him.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. It's Michael in Canada calling.
Yes,
we've got some Canadian music in there. That's the Crash Test Dummies from Toronto.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, good choice, Superman.
I love that song.
It's a nice piece. Me too. It's interesting, this congresswoman, congressperson, how these tricksters point their finger at the innocents while they put their subversive plans into action. If these militias pose such a threat, the constitutional militias in the United States pose such a threat, I'm curious as to where the defense dollars in the United States are going, who can't deal with these small groups. I mean, she doesn't really get the numbers accurate, so it doesn't seem like a lot of people to contend with, but they pose such a threat. And then while she's at it, she can examine all the intelligence budgets as well, because they're not doing their job in stopping these groups or keeping the cocaine out and all the rest of it. It's so easy to see. It's almost pathetic. You know, and I thank you for presenting this to me, a Canadian. It's great to hear this, because we don't have your brand of patriotism and truth here. It's non-existent.
Well, you've already slid into the bottomless pit.
The socialist sellout.
Yep.
You know, and I don't understand it. How can these militias pose such a threat when they are for the betterment of the people? And she knows that. I believe they do know what they're doing. You know.
I don't think they do. You see, you can't do what they're doing if they don't believe in what they're doing and believe that we're all wrong. They believe it. They've been brainwashed. they've been totally screwed with. They don't have any logical way of thinking.
I mean, that's the product of Yale University or Yale education?
Probably started long before that. You know, she's a product of Texas democracy. Lyndon Baines Johnson probably came from one of the areas where socialism bought the vote. Anyway, got to move on to another caller. Thanks, Michael, for calling.
Good night.
Good night. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper. How are you doing today?
Well, you ought to know by now if you've been listening.
I'm down in Richmond, Texas.
What can I do for you?
Well, I've been listening to you for a while, and I'd just like to know what you would say as far as when things might, or at what point would you think that things might stop being civil and being serious?
April 19th, 1993.
Well, I mean, how would you, I understand that date, but I understand that.
Where were you on that day?
Well, I was working hard.
I was in Waco, Texas, trying to stop it.
I understand. I do understand that, and I was really incensed by what I saw. And it probably as well as you were, and probably most of the people that, you know, witnessed it. But what do you do when it comes to a point of there is such a small amount of people that are willing to put themselves on the line to...
Anyone who's not willing to die for their principles and ideals, and specifically for freedom, will not long have it.
Well, let me ask you another question. You know, at what point do good men stop being civil and start being taking action as far as, you know, literal action? It's not legal action.
April 19th, 1993.
And that's basically it, huh?
You better believe it.
Let
me tell you something. If everybody had just shouldered a .22 rifle and marched down there and stood between those federal puke-faced, jack-booted thugs and those poor people in that church, nothing would have happened.
Sir, I agree with you on that 100%. There are so very few people in this country, especially where I live around here, that... would, you know, put their principles on the line for anything. How do you explain to people how serious, things have become? And that
you can't. They have to see it for themselves. And if they can't see it for themselves, you're wasting your breath talking to them. Find someone who can see it and talk to them.
And how do you go about finding somebody like that you agree with? And, I mean, I agree with what you say, and I pretty much I see the things that you see, but other people are so blind to it.
No, that's not true. There are a lot of people who are not blind to it, and there are people in your area that you haven't met that aren't blind to it. If I couldn't find anybody, I'd run a newspaper ad.
Okay.
I just put an ad in the paper. Is there anybody in this county that understands that something's wrong in this country? Please call me. I'd like to get together with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty good advice. I have contacted at least one person in the same county that I'm in down here. That, as a matter of fact, because of your program, I heard them the speech that you aired by Carl Haggard. I called him because I've known him for several years.
Carl Haggard is one of the best men in this country, in my estimation.
I have procrastinated, joining up with him just for the lack of procrastination.
Well, you better do something quick because procrastinators always wake up too late.
Well, I have procrastinated on a little bit, and I do intend to get with him. Like I say, I've known him for a long time, and I just have gotten in contact with him recently. And I like the man. He's a good man. And he's the sole person in this whole, you know, county that I have talked to that, you know, pretty much feels the same way that I do about things.
Well, I'll guarantee you there's others.
Okay, well, I sure appreciate it. Have a good day.
Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578. Time to act now, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody calls me up and says, when do you think it's all going to start? It's already started! Good evening. You're on the air.
Super. How you doing?
Good.
Sam from Maryland.
What can I do for you?
Well, you were talking about the preamble to the Bill of Rights earlier, so out of curiosity, I pulled out my copy of the Maryland Constitution, which includes the United States Constitution in the back of the book, and lo and behold, the preamble has been removed.
Yes.
Surprise, surprise.
See, they don't want you to know that the purpose of the Bill of Rights was to further restrict and limit the government and retain power for the people and for the states, and that the second article and amendment means exactly what it says.
That's right.
It means that if you mess with us, if you try to become a tyrant, if you try to oppress or enslave the American people, we will take up arms against you. Not against the legitimate and lawful United States government, but against those oppressors, those tyrants, those subversives, the traitors, who would destroy this country from within or from without. Makes no difference.
Interesting to note in the Maryland Constitution itself that it almost touches on that very same language in the original document.
Yeah.
I wonder what you think of the constitutional rally being held by Citizens Against Legal Loopholes come Labor Day weekend.
I think that is absolutely the most foolish thing that anybody could do, is to gather such a large number of patriot leaders and patriots in one spot within total federal jurisdiction.
You don't think that what they're doing is a good thing?
I didn't say what they're doing is not a good thing. I said today, right now, with legislation such as that, with them just itching to get their hands on the leaders and the top patriots in this country, to have such a large gathering of patriot leaders and patriots within the total jurisdiction and control of the federal government, that's what I said.
I heard that. But we got to take a risk sometime to try to get things resolved peacefully, don't we?
Oh, my friend, I think you need to reassess the situation. There's not going to be a peaceful solution to this. We would love for there to be. But do you see them restoring the Constitution? Do you see them staying within their jurisdiction? Do you see them obeying the law? Do you see them stopping acting under the color of law? Do you see them destroying Americans and American families for $10? Do you see people being murdered for nothing? Well, I do. Until they start performing within the limits prescribed by the Constitution for the United States of America, there will be no peaceful solution. I've worked for years for a peaceful solution. I have tried my best to wake up enough people so that there could be a political consensus, so that there had to be a peaceful solution. And then go watch all of the fools and sheeple at the Republican National Convention and tell me about a peaceful solution. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill, this is Ken from Fort Worth. How you doing?
Good.
Enjoying your show for many, many years. I got a bone to pick with you.
Go.
Every time you say the word Treasury Gate, you never say anything about Tommy Buckley, that he sued the Federal Reserve Corporation over a $278 billion bearer bond and a court of claims, court case 93-5.
Good night. You had a bone to pick with the wrong person. The bone you need to pick is with Tommy Buckley. That whole thing is a scam. It's fake. It's false. He doesn't have any court case. He's not going to win anything. His so-called Treasury Gate documents are fake, counterfeit. And if you don't believe me, you just keep watching it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. How you doing, Mr. Cooper?
I'm doing fine, but if you don't turn off your radio, your history.
Okay. I subscribed to Veritasat, and I had one question on that.
Uh-huh.
Okay, the symbol of the lady, what did that mean? Do you have a message to that?
Yeah, that's the ancient symbol for the naked truth.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No,
you'll see right underneath it says Nuda Veritas.
Right.
Right.
That's naked truth. The ancient symbol for the naked truth is a woman in the nude holding a mirror looking at herself.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, well,
nothing is hidden. All is revealed.
Right. Okay, I enjoyed your show. Just keep up the good work then.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. Yeah, I bet there were a lot of other people out there wondering about that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill. Two questions here. First one is, could you possibly repeat the names of the books on the preparing for the Depression and the fall of Rome at some later date? And
I don't even know what you're talking about.
You had recommended for reading a book on how to prepare for what's coming as regards to the historical records of the Great Depression.
Who did? You got your shows mixed up.
Okay.
You're thinking about somebody else.
Okay. Is there any chance you could repeat the address for forwarding the self-evaluation for assignment within the Second Continental Army?
Yeah. It's just send it to me.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Bill.
Mm-hmm. And that's P.O. Box 1970. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. That's the Sholo address. I'm sorry. That's P.O. Box 1420, Sholo, Arizona, 85901. That's P.O. Box 1420, Sholo, Arizona, 85901. And I think we got enough time for maybe one more call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. How you doing?
Good.
I wonder if I could ask you some of those.
Why does everybody ask me how I'm doing? It gets old. Every caller asks me how I'm doing. I'm not doing any worse or better than I was when the last caller asked me that.
But it cuts the nervousness here. I'm the first time I ever called you.
I know. I'm just trying to.
I have a little Southeast Asia vacation back in 68 and 69, and I suffer from PTSD, and I just wanted to convey something to you. I am so totally thrilled to have Pooh do the Pledge of Allegiance and see her voice mature. And I'd like to ask you a question that's not too personal. How do you maintain the stress and the anger and the rage when you address your daughter like you did the first part of the program tonight?
How do I restrain it? I didn't have any anger or rage.
Not with her, but I mean, how do you maintain your composure? Because the more I study and the more
I'm human like everybody else. I don't always maintain my composure. I get angry like everybody else, and sometimes I yell and holler. And a couple of times, sometimes I might go out and kick the trash can or throw something across the mountain.
Any specific thing that you could help me with, perchance?
Yeah, don't hold it in. You see, that's why I yell and scream sometimes, and that's why I go out and throw something across the mountain, because if you hold it in, it becomes a poison that will devour you and consume you.
Well, I tell you, it's doing a good job.
Get rid of it.
Yeah, it's really doing a good job, and I really commend you for her part in the program, because it makes me feel like there's some hope out there. The more I study, the more I get frustrated. And I try to do some things. I try to educate people, but it just doesn't seem to be working.
Well, all I can tell you is, don't give up.
I appreciate it, and thanks for Pooh. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
Well, that's it, folks. We've got to head on out of here because we're out of time. And don't forget, stay tuned all this week. As soon as I know, I'll tell you the frequency of where we're going and all of the details and times and everything. It will be earlier. Good night, and God bless you all.
But I know a change. But I know a change gon' come.